Good morning to everyone. It's really great to be here, and especially with the rain on the roof, I think we all feel that blessing. I am not sure if we will ever forget this season that we are in, and I just trust and hope that when there's enough water that we will always remember this. And I think the same is with Jesus. We sometimes think we can do it on our own, but then when we're without water, we realize we cannot. And the same with Jesus, we cannot go without him. We need him so much. And that's why there's an organization like Open Doors, and I would like to just share a little bit about that. I'm not here to preach to you, although there's a clear message, but I don't see me as a preacher. I want you to just know about the body of Christ all over the world, and that you do something about it, because you can. But let's just pray and ask the Lord to just open our minds and our hearts for what we are going to hear this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the rain on the roof. And we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that he died on the cross for us, and that we can sit here this morning, that we can know that. And where we are going to just talk a little bit on our brothers and sisters in close areas. And we just pray that you will use this morning so that it will also bring glory to your name. I pray that you will open everyone's heart, that they will just see, that they will hear. Ach Lord, that they will use all their senses just to know that we can make a difference here in this area where we live, but also to the ends of the earth. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Now, when I say we work with a persecuted church, it sounds very heavy, and it can get very heavy if you talk about it, and I decided because it's my first visit here, I will not go in too heavy. I will first tell you the good stuff. And I hope that will inspire you, but that you will also be aware of the not-so-good stuff that's going on in the world. Because I'm sure, just reading the newspapers and if you look at the television, you see the wars going on. And we can ask ourselves, what is happening? Are we ready? Because it seems like the signs are all there, that Jesus is very close. And so that's so important that we will just be one as a body. And I want to start off by the first slide, just to talk about the body of Christ. And because you might think, why are we talking about this? I mean, we have our own struggles here in South Africa. But we must always remember that there's a much bigger body than us. So if I say this morning, us in this hall here, we are not the body of Christ, then I am perfectly correct, because we are not the body of Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. And if you think about this, it sounds the same, but it's not, because if we were the body of Christ, obviously it was all about us and God, but it's not. There's a much bigger body. All around the world there are Christians, and they belong to the same body. And the Word of God also says that if one part of this body suffers, one of this body, then the whole body suffers. 1 Corinthians 12:26. So even if there's one person today somewhere in the world that is suffering because they believe what we believe, then we should know about it, and we should do something about it. Even if you just pray for that person, that at least you do something. So this is what today is all about. I want you to understand that even if it's one, but it's not one. The next slide will show you that there's more than 100 million Christians being persecuted today. And the reason is because they believe what we believe, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. The 66 that you see there, you will find them in the 66 close countries of the world. There are more than 200 countries in the world, but 66 are close to the gospel. They do not have the freedom that we have today, where we can just get together and we can sing songs, we can carry on worshiping until this evening, and nothing will happen. Maybe the school will come and ask what's going on, but I mean, they won't persecute you for that. So that's the 66 closed countries where you will get these Christians. But it's not only Christians living there. There's also non-Christians. So if you put the Christians and the non-Christians together in those 66 countries, that's 45% of the world. I want you to think about that. Because what I'm saying is that nearly half the world live in a country where the gospel of Jesus Christ is not welcome. And that's quite hectic to think about that, because we live in on the other side, the free side, and we don't often think of that. We don't think of closing the doors and windows and being silent and not talking to people on the streets about Jesus, because we can do it. Nobody will stop us. They will sometimes think you are nuts, but they will not put you in prison for that. And that's why we need to know that there's a side where you do not have the freedom, and that we will know about them so that we can pray for them and be involved with them and learn from them. And I hope this morning you will open your hearts to learn from them, because I want to share with you about a country where we really, really can learn from what it means to follow God and to do His commands. But I want to start off with the next slide. It's just a simple church service like this morning. I was in Lebanon recently, and I visited one of the churches. The reason for my visit there is that we are very involved with the Syrian refugees fleeing from Syria, obviously, because of the war. And just to give you an idea, Lebanon is a small little country of 4.5 million people, and they sit at the moment with more than 1.5 million Syrian refugees. So for every four people walking in the streets, one is a Syrian refugee. That's the setup. So obviously they come to the church also for food. When their money runs out, they go to the church. They go everywhere, but eventually they also come to the church, and the church will give them food, and that's where we got involved, because the church handed out whatever they could. And like the one pastor said, we gave all that the church had, and then we gave all that we had, and now we can only give what people give us to give. That's where we are now, and that's why we are involved there. So we went to Lebanon just to check some of the projects that we are involved with, and then we went to the church. And this specific service, if you look at the next slide, you will see the back of this same service, there's quite a number of Muslims in the service, and some, as you can see, are taking part in the service. The story is that they will come to the church for food, they get invited to the church service, and then they come again for more food, and they come to the church service, and again, and they pick up a little bit more about Christianity, and they said, but this is not what we were told in Syria. This, you are friendly people, you help us, etc., etc. And eventually they discover that Jesus is the person that they would like to see, different than just a prophet, but the Savior, and they accept Him. And that's why that stage. So there's different stages of people that you see there. Those who just attend for the first time, and those who've been there a couple of times. And obviously they are now Christians, not Muslims anymore, which is wonderful. The one pastor said to us, you know, before the war, that was 2011, I had a church group of about 65 members. 6 years later, now I have more than 1,000 families in my church. So it's not a Lebanese church anymore. It's now a Syrian church in Lebanon, which is wonderful. Praise God. But are we ready for that? If you take the same scenario, you bring it to South Africa, we're talking about, say, 16, 17 million, if I take population in consideration. Let's say Zimbabweans, Nigerians, you can name the country, come over in South Africa and they come to your church, and now it's not a South African church anymore, it's now a Nigerian church. And there's nothing wrong with that. But are we ready for that? That's my question. And that's something we need to work on, that it's not a South African church, it's not a Nigerian church, it's God's church. And that's something that we still need to process. And I just saw it there, and it was so wonderful to see it. So that was great. So that's some of the good news. Trust me, that is the good news. The bad news is war, where families are ripped apart. And I don't want to go into that now, but just know that there's so much pain and agony going on in Syria, Iraq, and those places that it's horrific. But in war, God can take war, and He can just turn it around, and eventually people can come to know Him. That's just amazing. That's the God we serve. But that's just as an introduction, as good, something good that's happening in war. But I want to go to another country, which is the next slide, which is Vietnam. I want to talk about Vietnam today, because when I think of Vietnam, it's a place where the Christians are an example of what we should be. They are, you know, when they accept Jesus Christ, there's only one thing in their mind, is that I have discovered the best thing ever, and I need to share this with other people. That's it. I mean, that's their lives are like that. They will do whatever they can to tell somebody else that doesn't know about Jesus, that Jesus also died for them. So this is just a small little service when you go to Vietnam or go on a visit with us. You might sometimes visit a little church like that. And I remember the one day, you know, when you're there as foreigners, sometimes we go like two people to a group, just not to be too visual. And so then they will ask you to preach. So the one day, this specific service, they asked me to do the preaching. And I was just ready to go up. So the pastor came to me. He said, "Would you mind if I do the preaching today?" I said, "Obviously, no, you can do it." And then at the end, he shared with me why. He said there was two new people in the church that morning. And he wasn't sure what I'm going to preach. And maybe they won't come again, he said. So I had to tell them about Jesus. So that's their frame of mind. It's, you know, people need to get to Jesus first, and then we can talk to our visitors and, you know, have them their say and things. So it was so great to see that they are so focused on what we should do and not the normal things that, you know, a good sermon here or whatever sermon there, it's about Jesus Christ. So that's Vietnam. And when I think of them, I think of a part of the Bible in Timothy, and I want to use that as a message. So if you came for a message this morning, now you must be ready, because it's going to be quick and brief and straight to the point. And it's all about Timothy 2 Timothy 2:2. But I want to start with verse 1, just to put some context there. And this is Paul talking to Timothy, obviously, he's saying the following: "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ." So he's kind of, Paul wants to give him a task to do, but he starts off by saying this. He's actually saying, you know, I want to tell you to do something, but this is not easy. You will not be able to do it on your own. You will need the grace of God. And if you don't do it with that, you won't be able to do it. So do we understand that the task is coming, but you cannot do it on your own? The grace will help you to do it. So then he gives him the task, verse 2, and this is all Vietnam for me. "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." Now, it sounds like a lot of things, but what he's saying is just this. We have spoken a lot, and I shared with you a lot of things. I want you to take these things and share it with others, as many as you can. But you must make sure that you share it with reliable people also. Why? Obviously, because Timothy, the reliable people will share it again. The others will just absorb it, make it their own, and then they throw it away or take it, and then they will sit with it. But reliable people, those are the people that will go to other people and say, "You know, I heard this, and this is amazing. I need to tell you this." And they need to share it with everybody on their path, but also reliable people. And those reliable people, you get my drift. This is the only reason why the gospel came to South Africa, if you think of it, is because of reliable people. The question you should ask yourself today is, am I one? Am I one of those who heard the gospel, accepted the gospel? Obviously, none of you rejected it, but you accepted it. But are you a reliable person with the gospel? Are you sharing that gospel with others? Or is it just a present that you received and you kept it for yourself kind of thing? Because the message is that please share it with everybody, but also share it with reliable people. And I'm sure if you're like I am, sometimes I do what I need to do and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I do the part that I don't do more than the part that I should do, and other ways around sometimes. So we need to say to us, and that's where the Vietnamese to me is like an example. They say, this is my life. Whenever I have the chance, I will share the gospel with people so that they can have the chance to accept it or reject it, obviously. But then verse 3 also, and it comes back to verse 1, he's saying, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So he said, these things, you can only share it with the grace of God. But the reason why I said that is that this is going to feel like a battle to you. Sometimes you want to give up and say, I cannot do this. But remember, I warned you beforehand that it's going to be tough. And when it feels like a war, you need to endure and just kept on going because of the blessing that everyone will receive from it. Now you can ask, what are these things he's talking about? And that's straightforward. If you go to verse 8, we can read something of the things. He said, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is the gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. So he's just actually saying to him, you know, Jesus, let's focus on Jesus. And you know, if I look at the church these days, sometimes they focus on so many other things. Or not just other things, on Jesus, but and other things. And we should focus on Jesus, because that's what it's all about. The world should know who Jesus is. And then later they can learn all the other stuff that's going around that, and the history and that. But Jesus, we need to get to a point where people will realize, I really need Jesus and accept Jesus. And then he can go deeper and find out all about all the other guys that surrounded Jesus and all the guys who came before Jesus, etc., etc. But Jesus, that's the main thing. And I'm sure you all agree with this. But sometimes we can get, I mean, I listen to people and church can fight about things that is so silly to fight about. And the world out there look at us, if I say church, I mean, I'm part of that. And they can look at us and say, what are these guys doing? We should actually talk about Jesus. Because there's nobody that can talk about anyone like Jesus. Nobody. So why don't we talk about Jesus and share what Jesus is for us in our lives? Right, so and then the last verse I want to share, it's the next one, 10. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. So there are people, because God knows we will eventually choose him. So he will know that. But some of them must still do that. Some of them, of those elect, must still choose Jesus. The question is, are we going to share the gospel with him? Maybe you are supposed to share the gospel with some of those that are already known by God. And the question, are we doing this right? So that's Vietnam. So because of this, I want to talk to you about Vietnam. I want to take you briefly into Vietnam and just share with you a couple of things that we do there, the people that we've met, so that you will understand this. So the next slide, if we talk about Vietnam, there you can see that little red country there in Southeast Asia. It's number 17th on the World Watch list. We've got a list of the most 50 most close countries. We every year we look at them again and rank them, and Vietnam is number 17, North Korea number one, but that's a talk for another day. So the next slide will show you some, that's just a close-up to see the neighboring countries, Cambodia, Laos, and China, and obviously the sea. The next one is that it's a beautiful country. So I will at the end invite you to come with us to Vietnam. So look at this, beautiful. God's creation, the next slide will show you the same thing, beautiful place. That's not the reason why we go there. I want you to understand that. But we don't close our eyes when we're there. We absorb the creation. But we are, for the next slide, we actually go for them. More than 90 million people. And many of them still need to learn and know about Jesus Christ. Now, imagine crossing the street because there's no gaps. Never. If you think you will wait for a gap, there's never a gap. So even that is a, like a prayer walk. Because when you walk across, eventually, I've been there a couple of times, so in the beginning it was strange, but when you walk across, you look not towards the traffic, you look across to where you're going, because they will go around you. If you look at them, you make them nervous, because they don't know, are you going left, or are you going to stop, or are you going to walk faster, or what? So it's nerve-wracking. But it's also good for prayer life, because you pray a lot, even if you cross the street in Vietnam. Yeah, but it's all about the people. They use motorcycles for everything. These days, there's also lots of cars, so it's kind of different now. Right, the next slide, they use the motorcycles for everything, just to give you an idea. Everything, I mean everything. You name it, they put it on a motorcycle. Also families, the next slide will show you a family. When we stop next to this specific family, and some of the new travelers, they kind of giggled about it. So the driver of the bus said to us, most probably they're on their way to pick up grandma and grandpa. So, yeah, and they do that. The next slide will show you they can do that. I mean, they can do that. Okay, so the next slide, that's the funny side. The sad side is that we all know about the Vietnam War that's been, it was from 64 to 75, I think, more than 10 years. It really... It was a terrible time in their history, but luckily that's now passed. Right, the next slide. The Christians, let's get to what we want to know is the Christians in this country, because many people will come to me and say, but I've been there, there's no persecution, until you talk to Christians, obviously. So if you just go there and you enjoy Vietnam, you will not see it. But when you get to Christians and you start talking to them, then you understand what's going on. The next slide will show you the kinds of things that they will go through, get arrested for nothing sometimes, imprisoned, humiliated, beaten up, tortured, even executed. Now, the picture that you see there is not a real one. It was in a museum that I took. But it reminded me of a person that I've met in Vietnam. We obviously, when we go there, we meet various Christians. And this one guy, we named him Daniel. So the next slide will show you Daniel. There's Daniel, and the reason why he's sitting on the floor, he was just sharing his testimony with us, and I would like to briefly share this with you. He said he was a pastor of a small little church in a tribal area. And you can say the police, they've got different names for the people, but let's say the police came to him and said, you need to stop this church activities. And if you don't do that, we have to act on that, and you are then going to be sorry. So rather stop this. And obviously he said, yes, I hear what you say, but they continue. That's what all of them do. And then one day they just came to his house. They arrest him because he didn't stop his church activities, and they put him in prison, just like that. Put him in prison. He said they put him in a small little cell. That's the reason he was sitting on the floor. He said they put him on the floor of the cell. They tied one of these thick bamboo reeds across his feet. They just beneath his knees. They tied him to the floor like that. And he had to sit like that, listen to this, for 6 months. He sat like that. They never untied him in 6 months. He said if he wanted to go to the bathroom, they just bring him a plastic bag. And then they will also bring him some rice just to survive. That was their aim, is to just get him away from Christianity. So Daniel was sitting in the jail, and in that first 6 months, or at the end of the 6 months, one evening he prayed to the Lord and said, "I mean, I'm ready to come home. I don't see why I have to go through this now, because I cannot talk to anybody. I'm just here, so I'm ready." Because he was weak and at that time. He said the next day he was released from this cell. They untied him. They put him in another cell with other prisoners. And he thought, wow, that's right after his prayer, the Lord made this to happen. So he was sitting there and he realized, but he needs to maybe then start sharing because that's the Vietnamese mind. And he had one of the guys in the cell that was kind of friendly that helped him to walk because he couldn't walk. He had to learn from the beginning how to walk to get the muscles and the stuff working again. And he shared with this guy that he was a Christian, and this guy asked him some questions. Eventually he said, but I would like to be a Christian too. So he had like a brother. This brother became two brothers. It became three brothers. And eventually he had a cell church. Right, that's now, if you want to have a cell church, that's the real cell church. So the warden realized, but there's something happening here, because he's just see this little group here, and this group, and obviously those who are not part of the group, and then sometimes some of them will just join the group, and he realized, no. And he also saw that Daniel was the main character in this cell church or cell group. So he organized that they took him out and they put him in another cell, away from the cell group. So Daniel said to us, he was kind of cross with the Lord, because he just started a church, I mean. And now the Lord allowed them to take him out. So, and then he realized, maybe this is the way to go. So he started the whole process again. One person sharing the gospel, accept. And he started his friends until he had another cell church. But he didn't get that far until the warden realized, but he's doing it the same thing. So he obviously said, no, you're not going to do this again. So he took him out and put him in another cell. But you see, the mind of the Vietnamese is different. If you leave just one there, it will grow. So it's not about the leader. And Daniel, obviously, he knows that. So he was happy, from then on, he was happy to move to the next cell. And they moved him from cell to cell until they realized, no, this man, you cannot stop. And they came to Daniel and said, that was after 3 years, including the first 6 months. They said to him, Daniel, your sentence is finished. You can go home tomorrow. And he said to us, he knew there wasn't a sentence. So it was just purely they see him as more dangerous inside the prison than outside. So rather go to your little group there in the tribal area and do your thing than converting the whole prison, you know. So Daniel went home, and to me what was wonderful, when he arrived home and they had their first meeting, there were more people, much more people in his church than he left them 3 years ago, which was for him wonderful, because he knew his church did what they were supposed to do, and that was to share the gospel. And even if they're leaders in prison, they will keep on doing that. And that is Vietnam. And you can really pray for Daniel and people like him. He's just one. I mean, I'm sharing one example of a person, but there are many Daniels in Vietnam. And you can pray for them and learn from Daniel in being, focused on what we are supposed to do. The next slide. So we meet various people like this. We also go in with Bibles. Obviously, they do not have Bibles freely available in Vietnam, so we normally take in some Bibles. This is just one mission that we did. You will also see a brown envelope there, because nowadays we print inside Vietnam as well. So we take in money, and then we pay the printers to do that, because the Christians have connections with some of the printers, not necessarily Christian printers, but they built up a relationship with him, and these guys trust them. So far as when we took in that money, it was money for 50,000 children's Bibles that were already printed, and they were busy distributing the Bibles. And then we came in to pay the printer. Now, you can imagine that happening in South Africa. They won't even start printing one book before they have the money, or some of the money at least. So that's the relationship these Christians have with the printers, and they trust them because they have built up a relationship where they really say, these guys will pay. Because when we paid that, that was in 2016, when we paid them for the Bibles, the printer said to us, with smiling faces, thank you. And just for you to know that we are busy printing the next 25,000. That's the first we heard of it. So we said, oh, okay. So, yeah. And we came back. We organized the money and we paid them. So it's been paid now. But I just want you to understand their thinking. It's just amazing how they think. And, yeah, and the need for Bibles there. The next slide. That's just the one pastor shared this with us. He said, with the handing out of some of the Bibles to the congregation, they have various dialects. And there was one dialect that for the first time they got their Bible, only the New Testament, in their specific dialect. And this lady was one of the people who got their first Bible, New Testament, in that specific dialect. And when she opened it and she started reading her language, her mother tongue, and she was just going down on her heels, and her first words was, now God is my God because he can talk to me in my language. And when I heard that the first time, I said, wow, that's kind of special. I haven't even thought of that, you know, God can speak to me in my language. I have an English Bible, but I'm actually Afrikaans, but he can speak to me. I can read my Afrikaans Bible. He can speak to me clearly in my Afrikaans language or in my English language. We don't always think about that. And I say to people, you know, when you take your Bible, you should actually, before you open it, say, thank you, Lord, that I can understand you clearly. Don't always understand what you're saying, but I can understand what you're saying clearly. And that's wonderful. So you can really also pray for people like that with a big smile. At that age, she's getting a Bible in her language. I mean, we were born with a Bible in our language. Right, the next slide. It's just we meet various groups. This group, they look well-dressed and nice because it's city church. They're kind of different than the tribal churches, obviously. They are much poorer. But this is a city church who came to Open Doors many years ago, to be exact, about 25 years ago. And they said, please help us. We want to do 2 Timothy 2:2. You know, we have a Bible school and we want to train people so that they can go out and start churches. They call the school the Galilee Bible School, and they just don't have enough funds to do this. And obviously Open Doors get lots of this, and we decided to support this Galilee Bible School. And then last year when we made a visit there, they showed us what happened in 20 years. From 95 that we started with them to 2005 or 15. And obviously I can't tell you everything, I just give you the tip of the iceberg, but in that 20 years they started 457 new churches. I want you just to think of this a while, because do your sums, you will realize this is amazing. I mean, this is amazing. In those church groups they spoke to more than 500,000 people, and then they added another 35,000 new believers to their church group in 20 years. You can do the sums. I mean, I don't want to. It's just amazing. And that's why I'm saying that they have just one aim: share the gospel. Share the gospel. I mean, if it really means something to you, then it's for others as well. That's how they think. So that's just one school. And you know what gives me kind of shivers is that we could have said Open Doors. No, it can't fit in our budget, you know, and we. Because we sometimes do that. We don't have the budget for all the projects that are there. Luckily, we did that. But I believe that the Lord would have sent somebody else if we said no. But it's just the idea that because we want to help everyone. You know, you want to help. But that's the kind of things that you can be involved with as well. Right, the next slide. It's just that one of the churches showed us some profiles of people who were in drug addiction, and that's another amazing story. But they started drug centers, and they use the Bible as their textbook. That's it. They said they first tell them about Jesus as druggies. They must first accept Jesus, and then they will give attention to his problems. Because they first need to know who they belong to. And you will not believe, we've seen videos, we've met some of these guys. I mean, they are tattooed from the nails of their fingers to the nails of their toes. I mean, they look like a newspaper. But they preach, you know, you cannot believe it. You say there, wow, isn't God great? And they do that in these centers. And it's just amazing. They're talking about 80% success rate. And now we're talking about hard drugs like heroin and stuff like that. It's just amazing. You sit there and you say, that's not possible. And then they show you. And they you talk to the guys. Say, I was in heroin for 10 years. And yeah, it's just unbelievable. Right, the next slide is that some of these tribal guys like Daniel, they will normally come to us. So when you do a trip with us, we will be in the hotel and we will bring the tribal guys to us. We will go to the city people because it's easy, it's busy. But the tribal guys, we don't go to them because it's dangerous for them if we go there. So that we will bring them to the city. They're very nervous because they're not used to the city. And then we will meet them in our hotel rooms, and they will share their testimonies with us. And obviously, we will pray for them. And then you get it sometimes that after praying for them and we say our goodbyes, they will say, thank you so much for coming to Vietnam. We are now ready to face persecution again. And then you say, oh, that's not what you meant by coming here to pray for them, but that's how they see it. They say, for them, it's just good to know that people across the world knows about their situation and that people are praying for them. So please pray for them. They really need our prayers. Right, the next slide. We go to various church meetings and just see. And they want us to preach. And then you feel like, what do you preach to these people? I mean, so what we normally do is we just share about other Christians in other close countries that are persecuted. And then you must see them. They will fall on their knees and they will pray for the persecuted church. And they are part of the persecuted church. But they don't, for them it's just church. They've been like that under persecution all their life. So then they will pray for the people in Iraq. They will pray for the people in North Korea. And luckily sometimes we go to Iraq and then they will pray for Vietnam. So the prayers goes around. So right, so that's the church meetings. The next slide. We also did some training. We actually did some training in Thailand with the Hmong people. So on our way, we went through Vietnam. And when they heard that we are going to do some training, they said, please, we want to be trained as well. So we said, okay, we will do some training one day. They said, no, not one day, 3 days, 3 days. So eventually, we had to do this youth group, and I had some praise and worship guys. And we had to teach them about praise and worship. It was kind of funny, you know. We are going to teach them about praise and worship. Eventually, they taught us about praise and worship. So it was actually more the other way around. But they are so eager to learn. So that was kind of wonderful. That's just the group. And the next slide is about the group in Thailand. They're from the Hmong people in Laos. So they come across the border because it's easier then. And they were all trained to be Sunday school teachers. And you can see all the material that they got from Open Doors to help them. And they were trained to use it. Okay, the next one. Yeah, and then we come back. Obviously, you're a different person when you do a trip like this. You just see church differently. You just see the Christian life differently. And you realize that sometimes we are kind of playing, you know, in a certain sense. I don't want to break our church down, but We are not focused on the gospel so much. Right, the next one, it's just a little one saying we mustn't forget them and we must keep on sending those children's Bibles, etc. Right, the next slide. And yeah, I want to conclude by really asking you to put the persecuted church. And when I say the persecuted church, I don't want to, you know, sounds that it's another church. There's only one church. There's only one church. Let's call it the persecuted Christians of the body of Christ, that we will pray for them. because they need our prayers. On the other hand, we need them just as much as they need us. We need them, because we can see their determination. We can see the fact that they will just go on and endure persecution because they have discovered something that's just worth being persecuted for. That's it. That's what it's all about. The next slide. So please pray. You need information. I've got some news briefs. Take one, please. And if you want to receive that monthly, you will see there's a little form inside where we just obviously need your address, and we will send it to you. You can get it also by email, although I prefer the black and white copy one because you can sit on your toilet and read it if you want to. I know how we read on the laptops. It's just, you know, what you want and the paragraph that you want. And so, but you are more than welcome to sign up for that. Inside there's also like a prayer thingy that you can pray for, right? So please do that. You can do it here. There's pens. I want to make it as easy as possible. Fill it in, leave the card there, and I will make sure that you get it every month. Right, the next one. Sponsor a Bible. You can sponsor a Bible. A Bible is about 60 Rand. I always say to people, please, you have a Bible, sponsor a Bible. You can even sponsor a Bible a month if you're in the position to do that. So on that same form, there's a, like a debit order. So if you want to sponsor a Bible every month, which is 60 Rand, you can do that. You can even mention the country where you want the money, the Bibles to be delivered, although it's a closed country. Just keep that in mind. We're not going to take it to America or Canada or something like that. Okay, so please do that. You can make a huge difference by being involved. Right, the next slide. It's the lady. I just want to, yeah. We are also getting sportsmen involved. So if you're a sportsman, I don't want to spend too much time. You can ask me afterwards, but we use sportsmen to do their sports for them. That's where the "for them" come from. I say we in Cape Town, and there's so much to enjoy. Why not enjoy it for them? And when you do it, I'm a trail runner, so when I'm running up Table Mountain, I always think of the persecuted church. It's a good place to think of the persecuted church, because when you go up Table Mountain, you kind of think sometimes, what am I doing? And then you can think of the Christians in North Korea that do not have the choice. I have a choice if I want to go up Table Mountain or not. They don't have a choice. They are just persecuted. And that's just a place where you can also think of them and pray for them. Right, the next slide. I've got some books, so you can look at the table. I don't want to say too much about that. If you haven't read God's Smuggler, it's a must read. There's a little book of prayer. How do you pray for the persecuted church? I say you must pray, but how do you pray? So that's just a little booklet saying, how do you pray? North Korea, Insanity of God, excellent. I will tell Yaku, because we've got the Insanity of God book now as a film, a documentary film, and it's just really amazing. So maybe one evening we can come and show you that. Right, so the next one. And then I invite you all to come with us. So you've just heard you can go to North Korea, which is the most closed country in the world. You can go there. I always say to people, I can't always bring you back, but I can take you there. So if you're happy with that, I'm happy to take you. No, I will bring you back. You don't have to fear. Although it's very biblical, we always also say to people, the Bible says you need to go. It doesn't say anything about coming back. It's go there and go there. So if you come back, there's only one reason, and that is to go again. So, but you can also talk to me. You can talk to Beate. He's been with us a couple of years. He's been traveling with us a lot. So you can ask us if there's any questions about the traveling. Right, the next one is that's it. Trust me, I've got lots more, but I won't abuse the time. So thank you so much that I could share this with you. I hope you will walk out here today and say, yo, I can do more, because we all can do more. And by that I mean share the gospel more, that people can know what we know. And we all know it, and that we will do that. I just want to conclude with a prayer, and then I will hand over. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the fact that we can sit here in this church building and that we don't have to be afraid. We thank you that we can have Bibles, that we can open those Bibles and read it in our home language. Lord, we thank you for all the things that we can do here in a free country like South Africa. We pray that you will help us to see this and understand this, and that we will also think of those people, that part of the body of Christ, that are persecuted, that don't have Bibles, that get together but are always nervous when they get together because of all the things that can happen. I pray that you will be with them, that you will protect them, that you will guide them, and that you will bless them. Lord, I also pray for this group in front of me, that you will bless each and every one here. You said to Abram that you will bless him so that he can be a blessing to others. And that's my prayer for each and every one here. Bless us, Lord, so that we can be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.